I just feel like talking today and telling you about what I believe the Holy Scriptures are telling us today. Because there's a thread running through this that's one of the most exciting threads that I've seen in a long time. With all the readings today, in the book of Joel, Joel tells us, all the inhabitants of the earth and the wild animals, he wasn't talking about us, well maybe, you know, but the wild animals and all the people of the earth rejoice. Be happy, be joyful. Why? He said, because the rains are coming down. He's not talking about water from the sky. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. He said, the autumn rains came. That was the autumn rains, but now the spring rain is coming. The spring rain. If we didn't live in Las Vegas, that might be a lot more understandable for all of us. But the spring rain is what causes the flowers to grow and what waters the earth. But what was the autumn rain that Joel was talking about? Do you remember when the children of Israel came out of Egypt in the book of Exodus, that the Lord was with them? And the way that he proved that he was with them all the time was that he had a pillar of fire by night that was always in the midst of the camp of the Israelites. A pillar of fire by night and a pillar of smoke during the day. That was the Holy Spirit. That was the presence of God among the people. That was the autumn rain. And that disappeared for many years. And Joel's prophecy said, just like it was back then, it will be again. The autumn rains were here, and the spring rain is going to come. The old rain came down, but now the new rain is going to be upon us. Like the glory of the Lord, which was seen before, we're going to see it again. To me, that's exciting news from the prophet Joel, that the new rain is coming. How many look forward to the new rain? I look forward to the new rain, yes. And the people of God will overflow, it says, from the rain, causing everything to flourish. And God will restore anything that has been lost, anything that has been torn apart, anything that has been dragged down, anything that the enemy has destroyed, it says God will restore. I know people on the inside who have been torn apart and dragged down and destroyed. Do you know that God can restore that? Do you know how he restores it? He restores it with the washing of the new rain, the spring rain that comes down and makes everything new and fresh. He will feed us and nourish us with his plenty that God has, and we will never be ashamed, he says. We'll never be put to shame. And then Jesus in the gospel reading today, he says, I'm going to the Father, but I'm going to send the new rain. I'm going to send the Helper, the Holy Spirit. If I don't go to the Father, the Holy Spirit won't come. But because I go to the Father, he is coming, the Holy Spirit. One of the reasons that we're called the Charismatic Episcopal Church is not because we put our hands up or sing a little louder than other churches. It's because we believe in the real presence of the Holy Spirit here and now among us. Amen? The Lord is here, and he's here by his Holy Spirit, and that has not disappeared. It was never a faucet that was shut off. It's still pouring out today on God's people, on his church. It says he shows us all things we need to know. And then Jesus said, my peace I give to you. My peace. How can we be at peace in the midst of a troubled world? How can we be at peace in the midst of our lives that somehow get torn apart? Jesus said, here's how. I send the Helper, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Counselor, the Guide, the one who will be with you always and never leave. That one, that Holy Spirit, that's your peace, because he's always there with you wherever you go. And then we look at the book of Revelation. And we see in the book of Revelation this big city and this temple. And a lot of people read the book of Revelation as though it's a prediction of some future event that's going to happen at the end of time. And some of it is the prediction of future events. But much of the book of Revelation is symbolic about what's happening right now in the kingdom of God. The point of view of the kingdom of God is what the book of Revelation is about. In fact, why limit it to the book of Revelation? One thing you need to understand about this book right here, one thing you need to understand about this book is that it speaks about one thing. It speaks about one thing. The plan of God from the beginning is the salvation of the world through our Lord Jesus Christ. No matter if you start from Genesis or Matthew or wherever you start, if you read this book, it's the revelation. All of it is the revelation of Jesus Christ to the world. And at the end of the book, the last book of the book, Revelation, Jesus says to John, "This is who I am. Come up here and look and write these things down. This is what's going on right now in the kingdom of heaven." And so this is a point of view of the kingdom of heaven, of what's going on right now. And he says there's a city. And that city, you understand, is the church. Now somebody said, "Whose church? Which church?" That's always going to go on, isn't it? Do you think, let me ask you a question. Do you think on the great judgment day, when the millions of people are standing before the throne of God and worshiping him, God says, "Wait, time out. Okay, listen, the Romans, you got it over here. Charismatic Episcopal right here. You know, Orthodox over here. And you guys, you Baptists, you line up over there. And you guys that are all laying down like you're dead, you Methodists, you come on, you know, over here." That's not going to happen. Because the church is one church. We say it every time we say the creed. "I believe in one holy Catholic," which means universal, "and apostolic church." Did you know that you're a member of the church? If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of your life, you're a member of that church universal. The church is the city in the book of Revelation that we read about today. And it says, the church contains the light for the world. Remember when Jesus said, "I am the light of the world"? Guess what? Now he's pointing at you, saying, you church, you're the light of the world. You go out and you be that light. He talks about the lamppost, the light of the Lamb of God. That's us. That's the church. See, to me, that's about some of the most exciting news that you can ever hear. That we're part of this incredible, universal group of believers in Jesus Christ who have this one thing in common. We're part of the church. The doors will always be open. The doors are never shut. In other words, the church from the beginning has always opened its doors to the world and gone out and said, "Come on in. Our doors aren't locked. They're open for you to come in and become part of this church, this wonderful movement of God." And it will never be time to sleep, because the church is always awake. In the Revelation, it says there will be no sleeping, no night, because the light is always there. The light of the day is always there, and the light is the Lamb of God. And so the Holy Spirit that has been poured out onto the church is still that pillar of fire by night that the church goes by, that the church is guided by. And all who are in the church have their names written in the book of life. When I was a kid, that was used to scare us pretty much. In Revelation, it says, whoever's names are written in the Lamb's book of life, those will be part of the kingdom. And if you're not, you know, like this, shame on you. You need to get your name written in the Lamb's book of life. Well, in Philippians chapter 4, it says this. Paul is writing to the church in Philippi, and at the end of his message, he said, listen, you, my true companion, help these certain women who have been part of the church, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel. This is Paul speaking to the church, to us. Along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Whose names are in the book of life. That's present tense. Did you know that if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior and you're part of this, you're part of the church universal, that your name is written in the book of life? That's not going away. The name is written in the book of life and it's not going anywhere. So the people of the church have their names already written in the book of life. And the book of life is full of people who are truly alive. That's why it's called the book of life. Because they know where life comes from, where true life comes from. And in another place in Revelation, it says, in the book of life, if anyone tries to defile the church, if anyone rebels against God, then their names get blotted out of the book of life. their names are not among the true believers. And one of the reasons we come in on church on Sunday morning, one of the reasons we say at the very beginning of the service, Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Because we as the church come together to God and we say, this is who we are, Lord. This is who we are. Yes, yes, we're sinners, but we're gathering together as the church. And a little later on, we're going to kneel down, we're going to confess our sins, and we're going to receive absolution and forgiveness of those sins so that we can come and receive the meal at the front of the church, the Holy Communion. In Revelation 3:5, it says, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. This is Jesus speaking to the church. He said, I will confess your name before the Father and before the angels if you're part of my church. That's good news. But it says, he who overcomes. How do you overcome? Did you know that in Revelation it says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony? The blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Somebody said, you have to ask for the blood of the Lamb. No, no, no. It's right here. It's right here. We partake of it. It'll be brought up here and consecrated. We partake of it on Sunday morning. That's the blood of the Lamb. And the word of your testimony is what your story is. Remember last week I said everybody has a story? Do you confess Jesus as Lord? Yes, I confess Jesus as Lord. That's the word of your testimony, and here's the blood of the Lamb. And it said, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So you have both, don't you? You have the word of your testimony, and you receive the blood of the Lamb. So you're an overcomer. I didn't say you'd feel like it, but you're an overcomer in Christ Jesus. I had somebody talk to me a couple weeks ago, and they said, well, I got a good message today. I thank you very much, and now I'm going to go my way. I don't need the church. That'll sustain me for a long time. And I said, no, 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 you need the church. You're part of the church. You can't go it alone. You can't be out there alone. The church is the holy city through whom God works. Everybody who's in the kingdom of God is part of the church. And God works in the world through the church. That's us. God works in the world through the church. The church becomes the light. So you can't go it alone. You've got to be part of the church. Jesus tells us to be at peace. He tells us to be at peace. He says, don't be afraid. He said, the Father and I have come to you, and we make our home with you. Church, people, we never leave you or forsake you. We're with you forever, he said. That's the church. If God is with us and will never leave us, then how can we possibly be afraid? What are we afraid of? If God is with us and will never leave us and has poured out his Holy Spirit upon us, then what have we to fear? What will take that peace away from us? Nothing. Because the Bible says if God be for us, then who can be against us? If we have that same Holy Spirit that was poured out upon the people, that pillar of fire by night and the pillar of smoke by day, living in us, then what is there to be afraid of? Why aren't we at peace? Why don't we just say, okay, Lord, my life is in your hands. Whatever happens, you're with me. I'm not going this alone. So we all have a choice to make. Either what we're afraid of is real, or the Word of God is real. Which is more real to you? I'm not saying that what you're afraid of isn't real, but which is more real and which is more powerful to you? There might be a lot of things out there that people are afraid of, but I have news for you. There's no power like the Holy Spirit. There's nothing more powerful in the universe than the Holy Spirit of God. So whatever the things are going on in your life right now, whatever scares you, whatever keeps you awake at night, whatever pounds on the outside of your head trying to get in, Jesus said, be at peace. Do not be afraid. For the church has overcome and will continue to overcome. The church is that great city that brings the light to the world. And you are not alone. Sometimes it seems like it, but you're never alone. One of the reasons that we come together to worship and to praise God is because we have a sense that we are part of something much greater and much better than the whole of our existence. So we come together as a church and as a people and we sing songs. Some of us put our hands up and some of us pray in the Spirit because we know that there's a wonderful church going on right now and that God's presence through the Holy Spirit is right here with us right now. There's nothing more exciting in the world than that. And our names are written in that wonderful book of life. Somebody said, you mean that there's this incredibly huge book that's so big that, you know, the world or the universe can't contain it and that it's full of pages of everybody's name? Yeah, you know where the book of life is? It's right in the heart of God, right in the heart of the throne of God, the creator of the universe, the creator of all things, the one who created all things. He has the book of life and he keeps it. And your name is in it. And it says that Jesus talks to God and to the angels about you. I said that last week, and I'll say it again this week. He knows your name. He knows your name. And he speaks to God. And it said he proclaims your name to God and to the angels. He's in. He's in the kingdom. He's part of the church. She received me. And now I proclaim to all of you here in heaven that Bill Ruth, that Erlene, that all of you sitting here today, we're part of the church. They're all part of this wonderful eternal kingdom. And the only ones who have something to fear, to be afraid of, are the people that are not in the church, that are outside in the world. And what's the church's job? The church's job, all of us, the church's job, all of us, is to proclaim that gospel, to be that light, to be the beacon in the midst of the world, to say, come on in. Our doors aren't locked. They're not closed. It's not an exclusive club. Just proclaim him as Lord. Be baptized into our communion, into our church. Become part of us. And your name gets written in the book of life, and you get to live forever. And then come and eat with us. Receive the blood. Proclaim him as Lord. And you'll be an overcomer. And you'll be at peace. You'll be at wonderful, perfect, sweet peace. Amen.